Welcome to the Functional Medicine Podcast with Dr. McMinn and Coach Lindsay. We're coming to you from McMinn Clinic in Birmingham, Alabama, where Dr. McMinn is an integrative and functional MD, and Lindsay Matthews is a registered nurse and IIN certified health coach. In this podcast, we'll be discussing the latest information on a wide range of topics in the field of functional medicine, which looks for the root cause of disease, and integrative medicine, which incorporates both conventional and alternative therapies. Our overall goal is to help you be the best that you can be in mind, body, and spirit. The following discussion is for educational purposes only and is not intended to diagnose or treat any disease. Please do not apply any of this information without approval from your personal doctor. And now, on to the show with Dr. McMinn and Coach Lindsay.
Good morning and welcome back to the Functional Medicine Podcast. This is Dr. McMinn from the Magic City, beautiful Birmingham, Alabama. I'm here as usual with our health coach and nurse, Lindsay Matthews.
Hey, everybody. Good to be back with you. And we are super excited today to have a very special guest with us, Ms. Donna Molinax, our very own licensed counselor and certified hypnotherapist here at the clinic. And we're so grateful to tap into her expertise in this area that impacts every single person, which is stress.
Good morning, Donna. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Functional Medicine Podcast. We're super excited to pick your brains on the topic of stress.
Well, thank you for inviting me to join you. Stress is something that affects every one of us every day, so I appreciate you all devoting an entire podcast to addressing stress. Mm-hmm.
All right. You know, people come to see me for all kind of reasons, Donna. And, you know, we go through all the medical stuff, but sometimes at the end of the day, the 800-pound gorilla is the stress that's going on in their lives. And that tends to be causing their headaches or their gut pain or whatever. So we're all kind of constantly on the go in our modern day society. And then when we do relax, sometimes we do things like watching a horror movie or listening to talk radio or something like that, and which gets us even more stressed out. So I tell my patients one of the most critical things they can do for their health is to be mindful and also to practice sort of a proactive stress management program. So I'm really excited to hear your thoughts on how to manage stress.
And before we start digging into the topic, tell us a bit about your background, Ms. Donna. We'd love to hear about your journey as to how you came into this field and what makes you passionate about working with people as a counselor and a hypnotherapist.
Well, thank you for asking that. My journey began about 12 years ago. A friend of my children was killed in a tragic accident, and suddenly I was dealing with insomnia. I always thought, if you work hard enough, you'll sleep, but that was not so. And so, of course, sleep is foundational, and I dealt with that for about a year, and it was just a downward spiral, and someone suggested that I see this counselor who was a hypnotist, a hypnotherapist. And so I did, and I was amazed at how quickly we were able to address that issue, and it was exciting. I'm like, what else can we do with this? And so we addressed, the second topic we addressed through hypnosis was stress management. Amazing results. And then we addressed weight management. And so I became very, very passionate about this. I wanted to know how this worked. I wanted to become certified. I wanted to be able to help other people experience this. And I was nearing the end of my education career. I'm retired from education, and so I went back to school and got a master's in EDS and counseling, got my licensure, became board certified in hypnosis as well as clinical hypnotherapy, and that's my story.
Wow, thanks for sharing.
Yeah, very good. So Donna, as we delve into this topic, one of the things that's important to understand as a backdrop for this conversation is that stress is a normal hardwired protective response. On a physiological level, it's that fight-flight response we talk about, the one that kind of gets our hormones going, neurotransmitters going, and it helps us spring into action in response to a crisis. What we're focusing on today, though, is that chronic stress. And when our body stays in a heightened state of this prolonged chronic stress response, it can be detrimental to our health and what truly is one of the leading triggers of health issues and disease today.
Mm-hmm, right. Our brain's kind of hardwired to anticipate these worst case scenarios for survival reasons. But we no longer live in that age where we have to outrun the tiger. We're in the office and we have deadlines, or we're running the kids to soccer practice. But our brain still thinks that way. It still has that fight, flight, adrenaline surge, life and death response. And so we trigger that stress reaction. And so it's important to have a good approach to proactive stress management or stress resilience, as I like to think about it. It's easy to demonize stress and make it the bad guy. But I, you know, when I coach people, I find that to not be very productive, just to think, oh, stress is bad and focus on how horrible it is, because that makes me personally, and I see how it makes other people stress about being stressed. And it just leads to this big, massive tangle, and it's hard to get out of that mess. So what do you think about that, Donna? What's your approach when working with people regarding stress?
Well, one of the things that I learned is that our brain doesn't function in the not mode. So when we focus on not stressing, it sort of omits the not, and we end up focused on
stress. It hyper-focuses you in that area.
It does. And really, when someone says, don't see the purple elephant, you have to see it before you can not see it. Wow. And so that's really what happens with stress. When we focus on trying not to stress, like you say, it becomes more stressful. And so stress builds up this excess energy within our body, and our ancestors would release that energy by running from the tiger. But we're, like you say, we're sitting in offices, we're doing our day-to-day jobs, and so that stress just continues to build and continues to build and continues to build. And we have to have a way of releasing the stress or releasing that excess energy. It's like the frog that's in the pot of water, and the water's heating, and he's swimming around, and he doesn't realize the water's getting hotter and hotter and hotter until it's too late to get out. And so that's what happens to us. Our stress builds, it builds, it builds, and if we're not proactive in releasing it or addressing it, then oftentimes when we realize it, we don't have the coping skills to deal with it. So
that's a great analogy. I love the frog analogy. It's very vivid.
Thank you. We want to identify our stressors because we need to know what our triggers are. Also, we often have just a cumulative stress where we can't point to one thing. It's just a lot of small things that tend to build up, and we really don't have an awareness of that. But we want to identify the triggers that we can or the stressors that we can, but we don't want to live there. That's staying in problem mode, so we identify them, and then we move from problem mode to solution mode. So we know what's causing it, but we're going to live here in the solution. And the solution is not to focus on stress, but to focus on expending that energy and finding ways to relax and find that calmness. So we focus on what we want, not on what we don't want. So learning techniques, skills, strategies to release that is beneficial.
Definitely not a denial, like, because you're taking the time to acknowledge it. I think that's a lot of times what people do is they try to be like, well, I'm stressed, but I'm focusing on the positive, you know?
Yes.
And that's not helpful. Right. So oftentimes it's easiest to see stress and its impact on others. You know, we live in that space of denial regarding ourselves, but we can easily pinpoint it in others. Oh, they're so stressed out. But we can get caught on this treadmill ourselves. And I hear it so commonly, easily in patients, you know, they're like, well, this is going on, and then, oh my gosh, and then this, and then this, and it just gets faster and faster as they're talking. It's this treadmill of stress.
And they feel overwhelmed.
Yes. So we can have a blind spot to that personally. When it comes to stress management, what blind spots do you see that people have, Miss Donna?
Well, we're all hardwired differently. And there's actually two kinds of stress. There's eustress, which is the positive stress. And people often, like you said, we often demonize stress. We don't think about it having a positive aspect. But eustress is the positive stress. It's what motivates us to get up in the morning. It's what motivates us to exercise. It's what motivates us to accept a challenge and to enjoy it and to thrive in that space. So there is a productive, positive stress, and it's called eustress. But the stress that we're talking about today is distress, and that is the space that we often live in where we just let that excess energy build up, build up, build up, the tension, and we don't release that. We all have common stressors. You know, they're things that are going to stress each of us out, such as the death of a loved one, an illness, things like that. Those are pretty common to as far as stressing each of us.
To humanity.
But we also have individual stressors, and that's where our hardwiring comes in. Some things that stress some people don't faze other people, and that is very fascinating to me. It's like, why does this person react this way, and I react another way, or someone else reacts another way? And it gets back to our hardwiring. And much of our perception of stress is a learned behavior through our life experiences. And one of my favorite psychologists is Albert Ellis, and back in the 50s, he had this ABC philosophy. And his philosophy was that most events in our lives are neutral. They're neither good nor bad. Of course, you know, some things are definitely good, some things are definitely bad, but there's this large space where things are neutral. And it's our response to it that does or does not create stress. So his ABC theory was, A was your activating event, B is the belief about the event, and that's where the stress either lives or does not. And then C are the consequences, the emotional and behavioral consequences to our belief about the event. And so when you think of it in that way, heavy traffic. Some people become very, very stressed in heavy traffic. Heavy traffic is just heavy traffic. How do we respond to that? Are we going to let that become a stressor for us? Or are we going to say, oh, this is just time that I can sort of sit back and relax? Having dinner guests over. Some people thrive in that space. Other people find it very stressful. What if I'm late to work? I can stress the whole way to work. Or I can accept, I've done everything I can. The traffic is heavy. It is what it is. And so it's oftentimes our belief about an event that leads to the consequences, which is stress or not distress.
Right.
So, Donna, you know, our brains kind of keep this recording of the past, and we forecast this into the future. So, for instance, if you have heavy traffic the last week and you got to go to work today, you think, oh, my gosh, I got to deal with all that heavy traffic again, and sort of already stressed about it before I ever get out into it. So what we have to do is intentionally rewrite the script. The stress management discussion is so much about how we rewrite that script, about how we rewrite that script. So things like counseling, meditation, hypnotherapy, visualization are all powerful tools to rewrite your brain. Essentially, you're priming the brain with a future circuit. And it's not a quick fix, though, Donna. And what are some expectations for learning stress management as far as the time and practice? How long is it going to take to really kind of rewrite that script for you?
Okay. Yes, we all have a recording that plays in our mind, in our subconscious mind. And there's no monitor there. There's not a logical response to it because most of us don't even realize it's playing. And it's based, there again, on our life experiences, our perception of these experiences, and it plays through. And so if we have a negative feedback loop playing through there, then it's not going to serve us well. But it doesn't just change. We have to be intentional about changing it. Because we're not aware that it plays through,
right.
It's going to continue to do what it's always done. But if we're intentional about rewriting the script or rewiring our brain, then we can create those changes. Hypnosis, meditation, visualization, guided imagery, there's so many different tools out there. Breath work is a wonderful tool. Progressive muscle relaxation. Something that I really like is bilateral stimulation, and it's the concept of crossing the center line of the body, and you can do it visually. There's EMDR, you can do it visually, or eye movement integration. You can do it kinesthetically by, like, tapping alternate sides of the body. And you can even do it auditorily. There are some recordings that you put headphones on, and it goes from side to side, playing in each ear. So that is very fascinating. And a great way to relieve stress.
And I would imagine that kind of a diverse approach, having multiple different modalities that you're using, strengthens that new connection even further that you're trying to rewire.
It does. And it's important to experience different tools, try different techniques, because different techniques are appropriate at different times. Breath work is something that you can stop and do multiple times throughout the day. Just take a few moments, step into that bubble, and do the slow, deep breathing. Some years ago, I attended a breath work techniques class, and it was fascinating because they said, if you're aware of your breathing, our general breath pattern is short, shallow breaths, which encourages stress. Right. And when we feel stress, we tense our body and we sort of close it in. And so what we learned was to take the slow, deep breath. And they said, if you're taking these slow, deep breaths, you cannot feel tense. And I found that to actually be true. If I stop and do slow, deep breaths, it helps to release that tension. So having multiple go-tos, hypnosis is wonderful, guided imagery, meditation, so many different things. We're not always in a place to do meditation. So having different go-tos, we want a lot of things in our toolbox.
I love that. I think it's just so critical that people recognize that it does take practice and repetition. No one's an expert initially. I think a lot of people think, well, meditation or visualization's not for me, or I'm not into yoga. And nobody starts yoga and is a yogi. You know, nobody starts meditation and is a Buddhist monk. That's why these Buddhist monks live their life in the mountains. And so it is a practice. All of these different modalities are. And so I think that's just something that we all need to realize. You can't do a single hypnotherapy session and be like, oh, my stress is managed now. Check. we all want to check that off the list. But it does take practice. These are hardwired responses. It's an autopilot, so to speak, of our brain. So regular routines of stress management become part of our lifestyle, like brushing our teeth. And our lives constantly ebb and flow. Different circumstances come in that could promote stress. So it's not a conversation of changing our life and moving to Hawaii and living on a farm for all of us. Like, that's not possible. We can't change all those circumstances, but we can change how we respond. And that's why I love your stress toolbox, Dr. Whitman, because it really gives people just a practical step-by-step approach.
Yeah. And so, you know, people come to see me for all kind of things. And I think every now and then I'll have the wisdom to realize, oh, the root cause is stress. So I think when I was a young doctor, I would just say, well, I'll go home and reduce stress. But I realized at one point, well, that's not good enough. We have to give them a plan and a process. And I call it a toolbox. And so I came up with two things. One's called the stress management plan, and the other's called the stress toolbox. And so with a plan, it's basically a four-step plan. Step one is to name your stressors. And I think it's valuable just to get a piece of paper, or I love the process of journaling. And right at the top, here are my stressors. And you just list them. And sometimes you need to come back to it over and over again to make a complete list. And so that's step one. Step two is then to apply what I call the stress filter. If you go back to step one and look at all the things on the list, there are a lot of things that you can just filter out. Some committee you serve on at church you just want to get rid of, some toxic person you hang out with you just need to dissociate from. So just go back and filter out what you can. Step three, then, I call it day-to-day. Step four is moment-to-moment, because you're going to have stuff that comes through your filter that you're going to have to deal with, right? So day-to-day, the things we just talked about, like sleep, I think sleep is number one. I preach that all the time. That's the number one thing for chronic stress, is a good night's sleep. You can cope a lot better if you're well-rested. Daily exercise, I think, is huge. I know for me personally, that's one of my top stress relievers. Meditation, yoga, prayer, and breath work, all the things we talked about. And then moment-to-moment, kind of like when you're back in that rush hour traffic, like you talked about, Donna, stuff's going to happen, like somebody cuts you off in traffic. So at that moment, you have a choice to make. And, you know, the stress system was designed for, am I in imminent danger? And the answer is no. And so you need to kind of let it go. You can have road rage at that moment, or you can go back to your breath work and learn those skills you learned in step three to really kind of say, well, I'm not going to let that guy ruin my day. Right. And you just take a deep breath, you blow it off, and you go about your day without having road rage. So anyway, that's and then I also put together the stress toolbox. So I just listed everything I could think of. And we're going to try to post these on the website for you, both the McMinn Clinic website and the Functional Medicine Podcast website, the stress plan, stress toolbox. I also have a stress graphic that I'll put on there for you as well. You can take a look at all the sort of repercussions of stress. So anyway, you can take a look at the website and check those out.
Well, let's talk about the mind-body connection and how our thoughts influence our realities. I know I've had multiple conversations with you, Miss Donna, about this, and I like to use the phrase thoughts are things to help myself and others understand that thoughts have physical ramifications in our bodies. Like you were talking about, just that energy builds in our bodies and we have to release that tension. I love Dr. Bruce Lipton, who really kind of delved into this topic in his book, Biology of Belief. So Ms. Donna, when it comes to stress, how do you see our daily thought lives influencing our stress response and patterns?
Well, I think it of course is directly connected. Dr. McMinn was talking about what we filter out, what we can and can't control. Somewhere along the way, I heard someone say, what's in my hula hoop? And I'm very visual, and so I like that, what's in my hula hoop. If it's in my hula hoop, it's something I can have influence over. If it's not in my hula hoop, I need to let it go. And so that is something, learning what we can and can't control or influence. Also, we have to think about stress as somewhat of a dripping faucet. It's not we do this and it's fixed. It's we empty the bucket and then we put the bucket back under the faucet and it starts to fill again. And this is not in a negative connotation. It's just a very visual way to look at stress. That's why one session, you know, one time doing breath work doesn't fix it. Generally, people will get relief the first time they do one of these techniques or implement one of these strategies, but the stress starts to build again. And I was at a conference a while back, and the speaker opened with, after 100 years, we have finally discovered that the head is, in fact, connected to the body. And I thought that was just wonderful. That's because great. How many centuries have we treated the body in the medical field and the mind in the field of psychology, not letting the two overlap? And when we step back and think about it, how can we not think that there's not a mind-body connection? I become embarrassed and I blush. Well, there's nothing about being embarrassed that would make my face turn red except a mind-body connection. You watch a sad movie, you cry. Well, there's nothing going on in the body that would create that response. So we have that mind-body connection. And so, yes, our thoughts directly influence our behavior, our physical health. And we have to be very mindful of monitoring those thoughts. And that's why monitoring our thought life is very important. There's something that I learned called thought stopping, and where you put a rubber band on your wrist, and anytime you have a negative, get caught in a negative feedback loop, or you have a thought that's not productive, you just pop that band and it redirects your thought. And I know you won't call that something else.
I have a rubber band on my wrist right now. I call it a snap out of it.
Snap out of it. Okay. Thought stop. Snap out of it. Yep.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's very powerful.
Yeah, it is. It is. The rubber band is a constant reminder. I started working with Coach Lindsay. She's my coach. And we're working on mindfulness. And so sometimes I forget to be mindful, you know. So the rubber band was just sort of my constant reminder to sort of try to be mindful of my day-to-day interactions with people and my day-to-day living. So I find the rubber band to be helpful. Yeah, yeah. And so sometimes, when I do get in the funk, I just try to snap out of it.
Snap out of it.
By the way, Donna, there's a wonderful phrase in Chinese medicine which says that the body is a puppet of the mind, which I think is really kind of neat.
Yeah, I think that is so true.
Because sometimes when people come in with all kind of issues, I tell them it all starts right up here, especially with the weight loss issue, you know. So anyway.
And it does. I'm always fascinated. People say, well, they said it was all in my mind. And I'm thinking, really, everything is all in our mind. You know, our body follows where our mind leads.
And it's funny that phrase has a negative connotation too. You know, like culturally we think that's negative to be like, oh, it's just in your head. But really, I mean, it's not a negative thing. We're made that way. And
that's part of our hardwiring. So, Mark Twain said one of my favorite sayings. He said, I've experienced many terrible, terrible things in my life, some which have actually happened. I think that's often where we allow our thoughts to go. I think, Dr. Mack, you call it awfulizing.
Oh, yeah, sure.
You know, when we just assume the worst, or we play things forward that don't happen that way. And so instead of living in that awful future, being in the moment and anticipating the best instead of anticipating the worst, which is where the snap out of it comes in handy. So
I'm going to put you guys on the spot here. I know our listeners would love to hear what are in each of your toolboxes. What do you do on a daily or regular basis to be proactive with stress? So Dr. McMinn, you're
all
up.
All right. Yeah, the number one thing to me is to put a high value on a good night's sleep. I'm not the best sleeper in the world. I work at it, but I used to think, oh my gosh, the less I could sleep, the more I could get done. I try to cheat life in a way and just try to be more productive and sleep less. I thought that was a waste of time, but I think I realized finally how important it is. So I try to put a high priority on that. I worked 20 years of night shifts in the ER, so that kind of screwed me up forever on my sleep. But I try. The second thing is to get that daily exercise. That's really huge for me. It's a wonderful outlet for me. I think as much as I can get a little bit of fresh air, sunshine, connection with nature, that's also good. I try to start my day a little bit with a little bit of yoga every day. And I practice the mindfulness coach that you taught me, and gratitude and loving kindness are the other things I turn to. Gratitude's huge. Sometimes when we get in the funk and we think about woe is me, but when you would sort of stop and think about how good you have it sometimes, and also all the things you do have to be grateful for, then I think that can really be quite helpful.
Awesome. What about you, Miss Donna?
I like to start the day walking, and the days that I don't walk, I can tell a difference. It just sets the tone for the day.
Yeah.
It gets everything flowing, and it sets the tone for the day. I am a big fan of breath work because that's something that can be done throughout the day without any other preparation.
While you're driving, while you're on the phone talking to somebody.
Exactly. And it is a great reliever of stress. So I like breath work. And, of course, visualization, hypnosis, guided imagery, meditation, all of those things I am a fan of. It has taken me a while to learn to be patient to do those, because oftentimes it's like, I've got to hurry up and meditate. I've got to hurry up and visualize.
Yes. And which is so counterintuitive.
It is. We focus on getting finished with it so we can go about our day, which actually increases our stress, because I've got to hurry up and get finished relaxing so I can get back to my day. Yes, very counterintuitive. So it's a process. And just learning to do that. I remember the first time I tried meditation, a friend said, I'm going to teach you to meditate. Sit on the end of the couch. And we sat there for an hour. It was agony. There was a clock on the wall across from us. And I sat there with the eye next to my friend closed and the other eye open, watching the clock going, will this ever be over? Right. And so I didn't sit still well. And I stepped away from it for a long time. But then I got back into more of a guided meditation, because I do like for someone to sort of lead that journey for me.
I do too.
And to start off with just a minute, and then 2 minutes. But to be very present and not to try to rush through something. I can do almost anything for a minute. And if I could stay present in that moment, then it was very beneficial. And I did step away with a calmer sense and greater relaxation.
Another thing, Donna, that I like, I've used it with some of my patients, is biofeedback.
Yes.
It's really cool because it kind of gives you a sort of a metric of, sort of how relaxed you are. And you can use that metric to even get more relaxed. And so I found biofeedback to be very helpful. I have a little unit I keep at home by my bedside, and I use it sometimes to help me kind of get to a calmer place at night before I go to bed.
Yeah. It is so interesting that you would mention that, because I have a biofeedback machine that I actually got here some years back. And I had not used it in a good while, and I pulled it out over the weekend.
Yeah.
And because, I can feel that stress going down.
Yeah.
I can feel that relaxation coming in.
Right.
But to use that machine and actually see that is powerful.
Right. And when I'm using my machine, and my machine is based on sound, when I take that prolonged out-breath, I notice that my parasympathetic kicks in and that sound just comes down beautifully. And then when I take an in-breath, it goes back up and then comes down again. So it's really interesting to when you use that prolonged out-breath, that can really help relax you.
And it's empowering to learn that we actually can control this. We have to be mindful. We have to be proactive. We have to be consistent, but that we actually can control.
Well, I think the big thing there, Donna, you mentioned proactive, because I think ultimately either you have a proactive approach to stress or stress is going to get you. So you need to really take command and use some of these tools to help you get to a better place.
Mm-hmm. I love that, and I love just that these tools allow us to not be a victim.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of us fall into that victim mindset without realizing it. Mm-hmm. And that's not an empowering place to live. And there are so many beautiful things that we can do, that we can change how our body responds to things, change our mind, rewrite that script. So,
and I think recognizing that we can, in fact, do that.
Yes.
That's when we start to rewire our brain. That's when we start to rewrite that script. Because there again, most of us don't even realize we have that script playing. And it just continues to play through. That's why we have to be very aware of what we let into our mind. You know,
yes.
When we watch these the news, I was at a conference
world,
one time.
World stress.
Yes, and this speaker said, you don't need to watch the news because the same thing happens every time, every day, in every city. A child is kidnapped, someone is killed, and someone's home burns down. And I thought, that's horrible. And he said, yes, that's exactly my point. It's horrible. If we cannot help in this situation, it's not beneficial for us to be voyeuristic in watching it on the news each night. Mm-hmm. And he said, I don't watch TV. I don't read the newspaper. I don't listen to the news. I know there's a balance in knowing what's going on in the world, but just constantly exposing ourselves to the negative things. He said, but I advertise very heavily in those because the people that do watch those and listen to those need my help.
I bet. And I think the same goes true for, you know, scary movies and dramas and action films. I think it's important, not necessarily don't ever watch them, but just be aware that those are influencing you when you're watching them late at night, and that might perturb your sleep.
My wife says to watch the comedy.
Yes. I like Dr. Cheryl's advice there. Absolutely.
Right.
Well, I think we'd be remiss also not to take a bit of time to discuss hypnotherapy. I think most of us just kind of imagine that cartoon version with the pendulum swinging, and we don't have a great concept for really understanding how it can medically and therapeutically help people. So, Miss Donna, would you mind sharing with us a bit about hypnosis?
Yes, there's so many misconceptions about hypnosis, and I came along this journey because of hypnosis. And first of all, it's not a sleep state. A lot of people think the hypnotherapist puts me to sleep, does the whatever it is, and then when I wake up, I'm all fixed. And it's not like that at all. You cannot be put into a state of hypnosis unless you're willing to. People will sometimes say, well, I really don't know if I believe in hypnosis. And you don't have to, quote, believe in hypnosis for it to be effective. Sometimes people will say, I'll bet you can't hypnotize me. And I'll say, I'll bet you're right. Because if someone does not want to be hypnotized, then they're not going to allow themselves to go into that state. We are all actually in and out of hypnosis multiple times each day. Hypnosis is simply an altered state of consciousness. So if you are driving to the supermarket and you're really thinking about something else, maybe the carpool or maybe what you're going to cook for dinner or whatever it may be, you get to the supermarket and you don't really remember going through those two red lights or going through the two lights and stopping at the two stop signs. Well, that's called highway hypnosis because your body does react as it needs to, but your mind is very internally focused. And so hypnosis is a state of internal focus. And oftentimes, our senses become even greater when we're in a state of hypnosis. We become even more aware of sounds, smells, taste, and things such as that. Mm-hmm. And so with hypnotherapy, we intentionally create that state, help someone move into that state of hypnosis, that state of internal focus, and then we give very specific suggestions to rewrite that internal script. And I find that the more you do hypnosis on a particular issue, the more effective it is. Now, some people say, oh, you can do one session and be done. I have not found that to be the case. I find that usually it will last for maybe a week or so, and then it starts to fade away a little bit. So if we do this every week or so, or however often, we keep building, and the effect becomes cumulative. And ultimately, this change that we're seeking, the script is rewritten, our brain is rewired, and it becomes our new normal, or it becomes the habit. And so you can't get caught in, you can't get stuck in a state of hypnosis. If you're in a state of hypnosis, which we are all in and out of every day, but if you are with a hypnotist that's inducing that state, you can't get stuck. Either you will go into a natural sleep, or, you know, if the hypnotist wanders out of the room or something, your subconscious mind will kick in and go, your conscious mind will kick in and go, wait a minute, I'm not hearing that voice anymore. And you can just bring yourself right out of hypnosis. They generally say, in the trainings that I've had, if you're doing self-hypnosis or if you're in hypnosis and you want to come out of hypnosis, just count to three and you can come out of hypnosis. Well, you can come out of hypnosis without counting to three. You can just re-engage your conscious mind and open your eyes, but it's like being in a dark room and turning the bright lights on. If you sort of transition by counting a few numbers, it's more like slowly raising the lights. But you can't get stuck in that state. It's not a mind control thing. Someone once said, so with hypnosis, it's like you're driving the car, as the hypnotist, and I'm the passenger. And I said, no, it's just the opposite. You're driving the car, and I'm just giving you the directions. It's up to you as to whether or not you accept those suggestions or you take those directions. You can't force anyone to do something. Nor would you want to, but that is a common fear, is that I don't want to be brainwashed. I don't want to be forced to do something that I wouldn't normally do.
Right.
And that's not how it works. It is how receptive you choose to be to the suggestions given by the hypnotist.
So, Don, I've seen you for hypnosis for stress and for sleep. What are some of the other issues someone might seek hypnosis for?
It can address almost any issue of weight management, insomnia. There's so many different things that cause stress. It can be wonderful for addressing those. Pain management. One of my instructors was actually retired from the Navy. He was a CRNA in the Navy. And sometimes he would, like in the hospital, would help patients with their pain using hypnosis. And I know I've had several surgeries, and I would use hypnosis to help address the pain management. And so it can be very powerful in helping us get to a place that we want to be in a more natural way.
Well, Don, it's been so interesting. We're going to have to wrap it up for today, but what are some of your major take-home messages for our listeners today about stress?
I think trying several different strategies or techniques, because you need several things in your toolbox, being consistent. We have to do this every day. Devote time to it each day. People will say, I don't have time to do that. Well, really, you don't have time not to do that. Mm-hmm. Because, as Dr. Mack said before, if you don't manage stress, it will manage you.
Yes.
So find several things that work for you. Be consistent in devoting time to them every day.
How about you, Lindsay? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I would agree with all of those points. And then I loved your nugget of where you had that time where you spent the hour and it was awful trying to meditate, but then you started back with 1 minute. And you can do anything for 1 minute. And I think that is a great takeaway point for our listeners today. You can do anything for 1 minute. So maybe you just need to breathe focused, wise while you're brushing your teeth tonight. You know, maybe that's for our listeners one little tiny thing they could actually do. But just the principle of just start. And be consistent.
Yes. And find something that you like. Yeah. You know, individual meditation, I'm not a big fan of that. Personally, I like the guided meditation. And
yes.
I'm much more likely to stick with that than I am just to do meditation on my own. So find what you like.
Now, Lindsay, you've turned me on to a few nice apps for meditation.
Yes. Like, yes. I love Headspace. I also like Insight Timer is another one.
Calm
is another one. Nice. Yeah. And those are, for the most part, all three of those are free downloads where you can at least access a fair amount of some guided meditations for free. So great tools right on your phone.
All right, wonderful. Well, that will about do it for this episode of the Functional Medicine Podcast, and thank you so much for joining us. So we hope we're able to share some information with you that was helpful to you.
Don't forget to check us out on the functionalmedicinepodcast.com and mcminnclinic.com. And please take a moment to rate us on iTunes so other people can find us and hear this message. And quick shout out to Ben, our recording engineer in the background. Thank you, Ben Wedland.
All right, drum roll here now. And Lindsay, can you give us a final Coach Lindsay pearl of wisdom?
Oh my goodness. Yes. You know, I think don't demonize stress. Build your muscles around it. And take that time to just have that, like we said, start with a minute and be consistent. Have that daily practice. You are not a victim.
There we go. Well, that should about wrap it up. This is Dr. McMinn. Thanking you so much, Donna, for joining us today on the Functional Medicine Podcast to talk about stress.
Thank you.
All right.
And this is Coach Lindsay. And until next time, take care and be well.